message. Y'all know what an RSVP is, but did you actually know that RSVP, those letters, are an acronym for a French phrase that is Répondez, s'il vous plaît. Excuse my French. This directly translates to respond if you please. An RSVP is used to confirm attendance at an event like a wedding, a birthday party, a baby shower. In fact, even before I get into the word, would you mind to hear a baby joke? Would that be all right? Mike's giggling ahead of time. What do you call a group of baby soldiers? An infantry. Yeah, I know. Mr. and Mrs. Turner had a baby girl. They named her Paige, and they just couldn't put her down. Paige was a real Paige Turner. If you had to explain the joke, it's probably not that funny. Okay, one last one. How did Batman decorate Robin's baby crib? Of course, with a Batmobile. Okay. Well, thankfully, I don't know any other baby jokes. But what I do know is that Jan and I have received many RSVPs through the mail over the years. An RSVP is an important etiquette concept to follow because it helps the host plan and prepare for the event. By responding, you're letting them know that you're attending and how many guests to expect. It helps them plan for things like seating, food, drinks. Not responding or responding late can cause inconvenience for the host and can even be considered rude. Well, hot off the parable of the evil tenant farmers, Jesus tells another parable regarding the invitations that were sent out by a king for a great wedding feast. Apparently, everyone forgot to RSVP. We're starting a new chapter in Matthew today, 22, and we're going to cover the first 14 verses. I'll read them all, and then we'll go through them little at a time. Jesus also told them other parables. He said, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servants to notify those who were invited, but they all refused to come. So he sent other servants to tell them, the feast has been prepared. The bulls and fattened cattle have been killed, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet. But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way, one to his farm, another to his business. Others seized his messengers and insulted them and killed them. The king was furious, verse 7, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. And he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. So now go out into the street corners and invite everyone you see. So the servants brought in everyone they could find, good and bad, and the banquet hall was filled with guests. Verse 11, but when the king came in to meet the guests, he noticed a man wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. And then the king said to his aides, bind his hands and feet and throw him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Last verse, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now, before I go into any explanation of understanding this parable verse by verse, let me go ahead and give you the application right up front. The application for you and me and anyone who hears this parable is actually just a question. And here it is. Have you RSVP'd to God? Yes or no? Have you RSVP'd to God? And that's it. And only you know the answer to that. God has sent out an RSVP to everyone. His invitation has actually been personally addressed to you. And our Lord is waiting for you to respond, if you please, sometime during your lifetime. And I'll explain more about the invitation in a few minutes, but first let's look at the verses in more detail. Verse 2. The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a king who prepared a great wedding feast for his son. The son of a king was getting married. The wedding planner was hired. Next on the to-do list was planning the meal. And I'm guessing it's not going to be hot dogs wrapped in bacon with a Mountain Dew fountain. The king has opened up his wallet and he's ready to provide a great, bountiful, amazing feast. As I was thinking about this message, thinking about weddings, I was shocked to learn that in 2025, this year, the average cost of a wedding is expected to be $35,000. Now, I realize it was 1977 when Jan and I got married, and we actually got married in the Kindred Friends Church, but I don't think we even spent $1,000, and that included the honeymoon. The food we served was far from a feast. It was, if I remember right, it was a cake. I believe it was green and pink mints. It was mixed nuts. I'm sure we went for the fancy type. And then it was punch. That was it. But I'm sure the king in this parable, he went all out. We're talking 7-course meal. Verse 3 says, when the banquet was ready, he sent out his servants to notify all those who were invited. You know, in the absence of a postal system and Hallmark greeting cards, the king used his servants to hand deliver his invitations to the wedding banquet. And I want you to note this in the parable. This is the first invitation from the king. Now he waits for the RSVPs to start coming in. Verse 3, but they refused to come. Not a single RSVP, not one response. However, the king was not ready to cancel his catering service. Verse 4, so he sent other servants to tell them the feast has been prepared. The bulls and fattened cattle have been killed, and everything is ready. Come to the banquet. Beef, it's what's for dinner. The king is serving an all-you-can-eat meat and potato bar. And it's not just going to be a few steaks on the Weber grill. The verse said, the butcher has cut up more than one bull, more than one cow. Long before Arby's, it was this king who could advertise saying, we have the meats. Now, the other servants going out represented the second invitation to the invited guests. You see, it was typical in this culture to extend two invitations to a banquet. The first asked the guests to attend. Then the second informed the guests that everything was ready. Verse 5. But the guests he had invited ignored them and went their own way. Says one to his farm, another to his business. In other words, they all had somewhere else to go. They all had some type of an excuse as to why they couldn't come to the wedding feast for the king's son. Those who were invited to the supper in Jesus' parable made excuses as to why they couldn't attend the banquet, and they seemed to all be flimsy excuses. So let's stop here and apply some of this parable to us today. Because see, people, I'm not talking to you, I bet. But in general, people are still giving flimsy excuses for not accepting God's invitation. God has sent out servants to invite us to come to the spiritual banquet. And those servants may include a lot of different type of people, but they could be a pastor, could be family, friends, co-workers, neighbors. They invite you to church, or they invite you to Bible study, or they just invite you to their house for coffee. And then these servants tell you about their own experience with Jesus. But too often, there are excuses that people use for refusing God's salvation invitation. Things like, I'm too busy. Or I'm too busy with my job to accept the King's invitation. You see, I'm working to climb the corporate ladder. Or I need to work all the overtime I can get. Or I need that second job so I can make my boat payment. In other words, sometimes people just say, I don't have time for God right now. Maybe later. Well, back to the parable, none of the excuses that the king heard were outright sinful. I mean, going to your farm, going to your business, nothing sinful about that. But they became wrong because they hindered acceptance to the invitation. The real people excuse God's invitation today is basically because they don't want it. They would rather have their life be like Burger King. They want to have it their way. I don't say this very often in a message, but I'll say it now. And again, this may not be for you, but this may be how you can think about others that you know. Please listen to my warning. And it's really not Bob's warning, it's the Bible's warning. Here it is. When God invites you, don't make excuses. When God invites you, don't make excuses. Here's the thing. Constantly refusing to RSVP may cause your heart to be so hardened to the point where God may just stop sending you invitations. Well, excuses are one thing, but in the parable, it says that other invitees got angry and violent with those servants going door to door handing out the invitations. Check out verse 6. This is unbelievable. Other guests seized his messengers and insulted them. Not too bad so far. But then it says, and killed them. You know, I have never once thought about punching someone in the nose for inviting me to their kid's birthday party. Have you? I don't think so. Let alone killing them. But that's exactly what's happening in the story Jesus is telling. Verse 7. The king was furious, and he sent out his army to destroy the murderers and burn their town. Things just went from bad to worse. The king obliterated those who refused to accept his invitation. Now starting with verse 8 and 9. And he said to his servants, the wedding feast is ready, and the guests I invited aren't worthy of the honor. So now go out to the street corners and just invite everyone you see. In other words, the king was saying, keep those Bunsen burners going. Turn the crock pots down onto their warm setting. Don't open those 2-liter bottles of pop just yet. The feast is on hold. And so now the king is sending out his third invitation. The original guest list has been put through the paper shredder. So now let's open up the invitation to anyone and everyone you find on the sidewalks around town. And verse 10, that's it. So the servants brought in everyone they could find. Good and bad alike were wanting to fill seats today. And it says the banquet hall was filled with guests. Let's stop for another application. It's obvious probably to all of you, but the king in this parable is God, and his son is Christ. The original invited guests are the people of Israel. Those in the street corners are the Gentiles. Since the Jewish people rejected God's son, he opened up the banquet hall to those outside the Jewish faith. And you and I fall into that category. Now, even during Jesus' time, some Jews ended up accepting him as their Savior. And still today, there are some Jews that will accept Jesus as their Savior. But it's opened up to everyone now. Verse 11. When the king came to meet the guests, he noticed one man who wasn't wearing the proper clothes for a wedding. Friend, he asked, how is it that you are here without wedding clothes? But the man had no reply. Then the king said to his aides, again, this is unbelievable, bind his hands and feet, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, like you, I understand dress codes for certain types of events. Apparently, this was a black tie dinner, and the guy comes in jean shorts and a tank top. The underdressed guest was not only shown to the door, but was escorted off the property and then severely punished. In the parable, there is a man who came to the wedding without wedding clothes. You see, it was customary in those days for the guest to be provided with garments to wear at the banquet. And if you didn't wear them, it was a slap in the face to the host. Well, there's an application, believe it or not, even for these verses. And I can share different verses, but let me just share this one. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 says, for the Lord has dressed me with the clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. There are clothes to go to the wedding, even the spiritual wedding that God invites us to. You see, this is a metaphor for God's grace, where believers are clothed in Jesus' righteousness, which, what it does, it covers our sinfulness. These clothes allow us to stand before God as righteous. Because, see, none of us are. There was a time and day when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and that's called salvation. That's a one-time event, and you can put a period behind that. But after we're saved, there is a line that goes for our lifetime, and that's where we are. The Bible calls it being sanctified, being set apart for God. We are being, it's a process of becoming more and more like God. That's our whole lifetime to do that. So there are right clothes to wear. Now here's the thing based on that verse. There are those who aren't clothed in Jesus' righteousness will miss the kingdom of heaven, will miss the kingdom of God. Remember how this parable started? The kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by this story. And there'll be people who will miss the kingdom of heaven because they're not clothed in Jesus' righteousness. And what will happen to them? Just like in this parable, they will be thrown into the fiery furnace where the Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This isn't just some made-up story to, you know, shock the people. This is actually what the Bible tells us will happen. And so here's for the last verse, verse 14. Jesus finishes his parable by just saying, for many are called, but few are chosen. The closing verse means when the Holy Spirit deals with a human heart, that soul is being called. And here's the thing, Christ calls everyone. However, we are not chosen until we respond to that call. And based on verse 14, many are called, few are chosen. It's unfortunate to think that this verse means that only a small percentage of people actually respond. You know, as I mentioned before, in this culture, two invitations were expected when the banquet was given. The first asked the guests to attend. The second announced that everything was ready. And in this story, the king actually went above and beyond and sent out three invitations. God is sending out invitations, and he wants us to join his banquet, which will not just be for one meal on one day, but it will be for eternity. And that's why God sends us invitations, not just once, not twice, not three times, but over and over and over again. So as I'm getting close to the end, I'll ask the question I asked at the beginning. Have you accepted the invitation? Have you accepted the, and you know if you have or not. Now, maybe some people don't even know what they're being invited to. You know, usually when you get a card that says, here's the party, here's the day, the time, the place, bring this or don't bring that. What are we being invited to according to the Bible? Well, let me finish up with that. God's invitation to us is, it's three parts. Number one, have a personal relationship with him through his son. Second part, to accept his gift of salvation. And then third, then to join him in his work. It's relationship, salvation, work. Now, did you catch the progression there? God wants us to have a relationship. He wants to have a relationship with us. And while there is such a thing as love at first sight, and I'm not just talking about couples, but just friendships and such, most relationships actually develop over time. And some of you are in that place right now. You're kind of in a, trying to think about Jesus in a friendship there. You're curious about God. You know people who are friends with him. You even know people who are very close friends with him. But for some, God is still just an acquaintance. Well, I'm here to tell you, and I kind of tell this every week, that you can develop a relationship with God that goes into a friendship. You do it by reading the Bible, by listening to praise and prayer requests, hymns and praise music, and then by being open to the teaching of the Word like we do every week. And I hope you find other ways to listen to the Word being taught. I mean, today we have so many things. People on TV that are good teachers, books that are out there by good authors, there are radio broadcasts, there's podcasts, there's all kinds of things available. So relationship is the first thing. The next step in God's invitation is to accept his gift of salvation. Many times when we attend a party, or a wedding, or even a fancy dinner, the host will give each person a gift. God's invitation calls on people to believe in Jesus, that he is the Son of God, that he came to earth as a man, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. And when we genuinely believe this Jesus, we instantly receive the gift. Finally, after the relationship has turned into salvation, the Lord asks us to join him in his work. Doris, if you want to head to the organ, we'll be finishing up here in just a second. Now, he asks us to join in his work, and his work can manifest itself in many, many different ways. But here's the bottom way that you could all do, because we're not all going to be Sunday school teachers. We're not all going to teach Bible study. We're not all going to help with children's church. We're not all going to preach the word. We're not all going to play the organ and piano. There's all kinds of ways that we can work for the Lord. But the bottom line that can apply to all of us is this. His work that he wants us to do is to tell others about him. That's it. He wants us to tell others about him Why? So he can have a relationship with them. And then they can be saved. And then they can do the work of God by telling others about him so that he can have a relationship with them. So I think you get the point. It's just a cycle that continues and continues and continues. John 3:16 is a very famous verse. We all know it. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him, or in, I put it in brackets for me for today, everyone who RSVPs his invitation will not perish but have eternal life. I'll end with something I said in the beginning. God has sent out an RSVP to everyone. His invitation has been personally addressed to you. And our Lord is waiting for you to respond, if you please, sometime during your lifetime. And here's the good news. Because you are hearing these words today, you still have time for God to add another chair to his supper table. Doris, what are we closing with today?
Chorus number 2.